Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Today would have been musician Tom Petty's 71st birthday. And in his honor, here's the title track from his landmark solo album, his second. It was called Wildflowers. Wildflowers is considered one of the best records of Petty's career. Rolling Stone ranked it among the 250 greatest albums of all time, calling it, quote, a diverse record which illustrates how varied Petty was as a musician. Now, a new documentary from director Mary Wharton featuring uncovered footage of Tom Petty shows how it came together. Here's a clip.
This has become a real kind of pet project for me, this solo album, and I'm really enjoying working on it, and I really enjoy being able to take my time with it. A way of avoiding politics within the Heartbreakers was to just step out of it and say, this is a solo record. Because you don't want to stay in one little circle all the time. I mean, it's been almost 20 years of the Heartbreakers. And if I only made records with the same four people all the time, I'd never meet anyone, I'd never learn, I'd never grow. But I really needed to do it, you know? I'd been in a band my whole life, it felt like. And I wanted the freedom. I really wanted to be free of the democratic process. But I think it was time to just turn the corner and try to find another place to go, and the result was Wildflowers.
On Wildflowers, Petty sought a fresh perspective and brought in Def Jam co-founder Rick Rubin, who produced the record. That's not to say he didn't welcome longtime collaborators, including Heartbreakers guitarist Mike Campbell, who played on all of Petty's solo albums. In this documentary, we hear from Petty himself about his original plans to release Wildflowers as a double album. He ended up paring it down to one disc, but after a longer version was released in 2018, a year after Petty's death. It was part of a box set compiled by his daughter, Adria. The film Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers, comes out in theaters today. Joining me now to discuss it are director Mary Wharton. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
And musician Mike Campbell. Hi, Mike. Big fan. Huge fan here.
Hey, girls. How you doing?
And Adria Petty. Adria, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
So, Mary, the film is rich in footage of Tom in the studio, Tom in conversation with other musicians, the recording, the reworking of the songs. Where was all of this footage?
Well, it was really Adria who found all of this footage, but I think it was in the vaults of whether it was Tom Petty.
It was Warner Brothers, yeah.
Warner Brothers vault. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it had been part of the process that Adria was going through of looking at all the Wildflower stuff for the box set that came out last year. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Adria, what did you think when you came upon all this footage? What went through your mind?
I mean, it was so incredible. I mean, the Heartbreakers are always a music first operation, and you know, for somebody to be in the studio filming and having that many 16 millimeter reels that hadn't been used, you know, I can only think that at the time they just didn't want something so candid and revealing. Like, things were typically pretty polished and straightforward that came out with records, and this footage was just very, like, fly-on-the-wall, incredible black-and-white footage. And when we saw those dusty cans of film, we were like, oh, man, this is going to be amazing. You know, so it was quite a find.
Mike, an artist never fully knows when something is going to hit or resonate with people. When you were working on this album and hearing it come together, what was your impression at the time?
Well, my impression is that we were doing you know, work at the top of our form. Mm-hmm. And it was, Rick Rubin was the fresh bolt of energy. And it was a little liberating for that album to not only rely on the Heartbreakers. We had other musicians come in. I actually ended up playing a bass on a lot of it and, of course, co-producing it. But Rick Rubin really came in and brought us into a new energy. We'd done a couple of albums with Jeff Lynne, which is a whole different process. So working with Rick, it was like, well, we're doing something different now, but it feels like the song quality is right up there with the best stuff we've ever done. And some of it, because it is a soul album, really just highlights Tom's, you know, personal soul, maybe a little more intimately.
Mike, what did Rick Rubin tap into that you really hadn't seen before in your longtime collaborator? For people who don't know Rick Rubin, he was really into hip hop and punk,
yeah,
and Def Jam.
I don't know if I don't think he showed us anything we'd never seen before.
Sure.
But he brought, I mean, you know, we've been around a while, but he brought in an enthusiasm, and he was a little hard at times, but he wanted to try every permutation of every option on every overdub that we did. Mm-hmm. And typically we would do the first thing. Well, that sounds good. We'll move on. You know, wait, what if you do it this way or that way, that way? That got a little different for us, you know, to be that microscopic about it. But he was so enthusiastic and he loved the songs. And
my guests are director Mary Wharton, Tom Petty's daughter, Adria Petty, and guitarist and heartbreaker Mike Campbell. We're talking about the film, Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers. So, Mary, I had this image with Adria describing these dusty cans with this film in it. Mm-hmm. So you, as a filmmaker, once you got your hands on this material, what were you looking for? What sort of themes started to emerge?
Wow. Well, you know, at first it was a big process just to kind of sort it all out and figure out what we had that had sound versus what was just picture and what kind of pieces of musical performances we had, because those became kind of like the tent poles for the film, were the moments that we had a good piece of sync sound of the band performing. And then it was just so interesting to see, like, some of the performances in the studio that were captured are different arrangements than what the final record ended up being. So It was kind of, you know, became this exploration of the creative process, which was really fascinating for me as a big music nerd. Mm-hmm. But it was ultimately like trying to put something together that felt a little bit bigger in a way than just the making of a record. You know, we were trying to paint a portrait of Tom and give you a sense of who he was as a person in this very specific moment. And the footage was so great in helping us to present that, because it was shot in such a beautiful classic documentary style of kind of fly on the wall, camera in the corner of the room, kind of
style that it really lent itself to that kind of storytelling.
Adria, to that end of presenting a fuller picture of Tom Petty as a person and a person in his prime and a person trying to figure his way about his next act and his music, it does become clear that your dad, like a lot of artists, had kind of a fraught relationship with the business side of the music business.
Yeah.
You know, what were his concerns and how did he want to protect this record?
Well, I mean, for him, this was actually a joyous relationship with Warner Brothers, and he was leaving a long-term relationship with MCA Universal. So, yeah, he was thrilled to work with Mo Austin and Lenny Warnker, who were such musicians, you know, sort of champions in the record industry from the time of, like, Frank Sinatra at Reprise. But I think, you know, for him, it was the first time he didn't feel like he was working for a label, really. I think he felt really unbridled, and he's there with Ben and Mike in his comfort zone with Rick pushing them to try new things and all of this kind of working at the height of his powers with just the most talented people on the planet and people he felt really comfortable with. And he felt that on this one, nothing was holding him back, to be honest with you. I don't think he felt at all like the label was controlling him. And in retrospect, we talk a lot about the double album not coming out at the time, but the truth is he always wanted stuff to be affordable for fans. And when we talked about it, you know, when we did the interview with Rick and Mike and Ben, you know, Rick was like, yeah, that's got to be it. That's got to be the reason he opted out of the double album at the time, because he never wanted to come out and be unattainable for people, you know.
Mike, one of the wild facts that comes up in the documentary is that while y'all were working on Wildflowers, Tom and the Heartbreakers got together and recorded another song, which a huge hit, Mary Jane's Last Dance, which Rick Rubin also produced. What was it like to be working in those two worlds?
Well, it was like discovering the producer. You know, a producer's role is kind of mysterious, but we wanted to work with Rick, and we had this obligation that we had to do a track with the band, and we had already been in touch with him, so we figured, why don't we just try you out with the band and see how you do? And he did a great job, and it was amazing to us that, you know, most greatest hits, you throw together an extra song, and it's not much, you know, it's just filler. But this song actually carried the greatest hits and became one of the greatest hits. And it was good for us to test the waters with him and see how we worked together. And of course, after that, we went on in deep into the Wildflowers project and we felt more confident with him.
We're discussing the new film, Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers. My guests are director Mary Wharton and Tom Petty's daughter, Adria Petty, and guitarist and heartbreaker Mike Campbell. So this is a question for Mike and Mary. So the Heartbreakers ended up getting a new drummer out of the Wildflower session, Steve Ferroni. So Mary, as you were watching, and Mike is somebody who was in it, so I'll start with Mary first. Mm-hmm. How did you see that as a turning point?
Well, it was pretty clear that, and just from, you know, seeing Steve, anytime you see him, he's got a giant smile on his face.
He does.
And, you know, he just kind of lights up the screen. and so, you know, it was pretty clear that he brought a sort of jolt of a different kind of energy to the scene. And, you know, I think when you're in that sort of creative process, anything that sort of helps you to break out of habits can be a great thing. You know, it's like, oh, it's something new. This is inspiring in one way or another. And Steve clearly is an incredible drummer, and he brought, you know, that to it as well. But his energy is definitely very palpable in the footage.
So, Mike, from someone who was inside the room.
Yeah, you know, Steve is a wonderful person. And I actually brought him into the session because I had worked with him before on a thing with Harrison. And we wanted, you know, we tried a couple of different drummers. We wanted somebody who was really, you know, proficient and could keep really good time and not too busy. And, you know, it's interesting as you watch this, you can see the development of Steve becoming a heartbreaker. Because when we brought him in, he was more of a session player.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in, he had, you know, he had all the skills, but we also had to kind of dumb him down a little bit. Like, don't play here, you know, keep it simple. Don't put a fill, no fills, really, no fills at all. But you see him, his process going from studio player to the germ of becoming a band member, which I think was something that he hadn't really done to that extent before. So you can see he does have the world's greatest smile and the great energy. And he really just, the first time we sat down with him, like all the other drummers we had tried, just didn't even matter. He immediately knew exactly what we wanted. And he's a very positive, optimistic person. And he made it really easy for us, knowing that, you know, the rhythm was going to be good.
Mike, why is it important to have that kind of vibe in the studio when you're making a record?
Well, what do you mean, what kind of vibe?
You said he was an upbeat, positive.
Oh, well, that's essential. I mean, you don't want any brooding, moody people in there when you're trying to create genius, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's the energy, and Rick, too. Rick's energy, his exuberance, his enthusiasm. And, of course, as you watch the film, you'll see Tom, too. You'll see a side of Tom, thanks to Adria finding all these little pieces of film. You'll see the guy who puts music first.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see someone who cares nothing at all about anything but making this song great and better than anything anyone's ever heard before. That was his drive. And so Rick and Steve just added enthusiasm to what, you know, Tom was already searching for.
Adria, you mentioned in the documentary that you knew this record was a way of your dad preparing to separate from your mom. What do you remember about that time? And now that you're an adult and with some perspective and time, what do you think was going on, if I may ask?
Well, I mean, my dad was such an incredible person. He was just such a gentleman. And, you know, I've grown up around these Southern gentlemen via Los Angeles my whole life, you know. And he had a really long journey with my mom that started in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at that point, you know, he had been in the Traveling Wilburys. He'd had these great successes with the Jeff Lynne albums, with Into the Great Wide Open and Full Moon Fever with the Heartbreakers. And we were all such a tight family at that time that I think the idea of breaking up with her was very difficult for him. And he was in therapy and he was kind of going through a lot, which now as an adult I can see, right? But at the time, I guess I was maybe 18 or 19 when this album was recorded and I was in college. So I would sort of come back home and I'd hear some songs here and there. But when he played me the whole album, I think it was when I heard Don't Fade on Me, I was like, oh, you guys are getting divorced, you know, and I said that when the record was finished and the family was sort of sitting in the living room having listened to this. I sort of looked at my mom and dad. I was like, oh, you guys are getting divorced, huh? You know, but it was an incredible thing to hear the whole album with the second album this time around, because I'd heard it as a young person. When he completed his records, he always sat me down and we listened to them end to end together before they were released. And this time, going through it with Mike and Benmont and Rick a little bit, but really, you know, leaning on Mike and Benmont and Ryan Elliott to review the music, just the full picture of him agonizing about trying to really start a fresher life where he could be unencumbered with his relationship with my mom and us being older kids and sort of being able to do something for himself and live his life for himself. The songs of this album really kind of give you permission to do something like that in a way that I know a lot of people struggle with, right? From moving on to a relationship they're super loyal to, but that just isn't working. That's run its course, you know. Wildflowers and so many of the songs I think are really intended for my mother as a sort of peace offering, as a love letter to what they achieved together. And it's just, you know, for me, such an elegant, gentlemanly way to sort of reminisce and reflect on everything and celebrate it and canonize a relationship that's ending, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just so brilliant in the way that he did that with this record as a writer. It's really touching as a daughter to see how he handled it.
The name of the film is Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers. My guests have been Adria Petty, Mike Campbell, and director Mary Wharton. Thank you so much for being with us today, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.